folks. I'm Mark, and today I am joined by Jake Barton, the Bitbloggist. Jake, thank you for joining me back again for a follow-up from last week's episode.
That's right. That's right. Happy to be back. Let's do this.
Wonderful. And so you are listening to a quick play. So let's get right into it. So last week, if you missed it, if you did, what are you doing? Go back. But we chatted about video game protagonists and how maybe that having an actually good character, specifically as a protagonist in a video game, is a really hard challenge. But that was a lot of criticism without much solution. That's no way to get forward in life. So we let take some time and think through what could narrative and story and even characters look like for video games. So start us out. Jake, do you have any examples of a video game story done well?
This is a great question, Mark. I'm glad you asked this.
Well, thank you.
And yes, so I think a good example of a video game story done well is, I hate to keep going back to this example, but it's the one that keeps coming to my head. But it's Journey.
Yes.
And it's funny because this is not a game that has much dialogue. Yeah. I don't think it has any dialogue, actually. Just mostly music and interacting with small things. But the story that it tells is impactful because it doesn't do too much. And it uses all the best elements of the video game medium to do that effectively. So that would be my answer.
Nice.
How about you?
That's a good answer. So the one that's really kind of unlocked this for me, I think, is Outer Wilds.
Oh, another shorter one.
That's true. Depending on how smart you are, that one took me a while.
That took me a while also.
What feels so unique about that one is like you have the current ongoing story, but you're also kind of unfolding the story of what happened before, kind of through all these logs and wall scribblings and stuff that you decipher. But what's fascinating about that is that you can find those in any order. So it's kind of like you are getting pieces of the book just totally randomly. And there's certainly a way that it pushes you and kind of things tend to lead from one to another. But conceivably, you could read this story a sentence at a time, like in any possible order, which is hard to make work. But I think it does well, even though I didn't pay too much attention. I feel like there's more names in those scribblings than a Dostoevsky novel. So I didn't keep it totally straight, but still, great game, great story. Kind of with that in mind, what do you kind of hope to see from story in video games? That's why we're here.
Oh. So this is like two-part, how I kind of hope that story is employed in a video game. Because I think any story could be told in a video game, but I think it needs to be done in a way that makes sense inside of the medium. So your example of Outer Wilds is great because it's basically relying on the player to be exploring that space and literally unraveling like the mystery of what's happening here as you are exploring that galaxy and you're finding it bit by bit by bit. And that works, that lends itself super well to that video game and really video games in general, because you're tasking a player with doing something to uncover that story. So I hope to see that as a technique used to explore story in video games more than anything else. This idea of like just ham-fisting dialogue and telling you the story by just making you read boxes or having you sit with a pretty bland NPC that's trying to tell you a story, like, doesn't really do it for me as much. Like, go the route of more Breath of the Wild, where the story is told to the environment and the area that you're in, and less like, go talk to Rambart over here in the shed and he's going to tell you part of this story that you should hear. And it's like, okay.
And what's often frustrating is like that locks you in progressing anything else until you find the random guy in the random town that tells you the two sentence piece of dialogue that you need to do anything else.
Yes. Let the player continue to form the story themselves. I think that's like the most poignant or like most pointed way to say that.
Yeah. I also, I'm in complete agreement. That's also not anything I can solve myself. My mind does not think that way. And that is a massive challenge to craft a story in that way that invites like not only like audience interpretation, but audience participation.
And it's cohesive too. Like it has to be cohesive somehow. Right. Like we all came away with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom with some semblance of like what that story is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's hard to do.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I also have, I got some thoughts on the same question and a few categories to toss your way.
Okay.
But before we dig into that, I want to take a quick sidebar and do a little definition corner.
Oh.
Of ludonarrative, which is...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Landry term right here.
I need Landry to beep in and just provide the definition here.
Ludonarrative dissonance. Oof. How much time do I have? 30 seconds? Sheesh. All right, ludonarrative dissonance is a term coined by game designer Clint Hawking back in 2007 in a blog post critiquing BioShock. Ludo is derived from the term ludic, meaning how the game plays, and narrative is obviously the story of the game. So we could crudely define ludonarrative dissonance as the distance between what a game asks you to do when you play and what the story of the same game forces you to do. Clint Hawking describes these two modes of operation as contracts. In his critique, he argues that BioShock's ludic contract to the player is seek power and you will progress. Or put more bluntly, it is best if I do what is best for me without consideration of others. In a game, you have to make a choice to rescue creepy children called little sisters and receive no reward or harvest them to increase your power. And this ludic contract is in harmonization with the game's themes of the relationship between freedom and power and its criticism of Randian objectivism, which is the philosophical system that says a man's own happiness is the moral purpose of his life and productive achievement is the noblest accomplishment. And Hawking goes on to argue that BioShock's narrative contract, which is to help a stranger and you will progress, is in direct opposition with the Randian self-interest established by the ludic contract. So there you go. The origin of the term ludonarrative dissonance. It may be easier to point to the example of Nathan Drake. He's the charming, lovable, funny, and goofy hero of 4+ Uncharted games, and we cheer for him, we root for him, and we love him. But if you've ever played any of the games or all four of the games, Nathan Drake has killed hundreds of people because they were in direct opposition to him. And I don't know when the last time I saw a film where the hero of the story killed hundreds of folks. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, he's so charming and goofy. So yeah, ludonarrative dissonance. Impossible to talk for 30 seconds about it. Maybe we should have a quick play on it soon, Mark.
So all that, knowing ludonarrative in mind, like we're mentioning, I think video games are really unique in that they're explicitly shared between the storyteller and the audience, being the developer and the player. Have these five categories I'll toss you, and I think they're ranked them from most effective to least effective, although I think they're all unique in their own way. The video games are unique and they can offer these things. So I have, like we talked about, the open book, which is when the story reveals itself in an order that's entirely up to the player. So, You know, Outer Wilds, Breath of the Wild, all the other wilds. Everwild, if that ever comes out, maybe it will be like this. We'll group this in. The next category is the very first person perspective of where the player character like almost doesn't really exist as a character because it's meant to be you. And so I'm thinking, so I've not played this, but you have. Is Inscription this way where it's like it's supposed to be you?
Yeah, you're it's first person. You're kind of moving up and around the space and looking down at the table playing cards. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's like there's almost no intentional character there. It's just you.
Yeah. Far Cry is like that as well. You know, like you're playing as this very first person experience, and you sometimes play as a character, but most of the time it's like you're in there.
Gotcha. You are the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Number three here is meta mechanics, where the typical mechanics of video games overall have like a story context. So thinking of this is often in roguelites, like Hades, where it's the fact you die a lot in video games becomes part of the story of Zagreus returning to Hades over and over again. Or you mentioned Journey. I think the use of multiplayer is like a key way of where that gets used.
Yep.
And then also the intentional dissonance where it makes you do what you don't want to do. So thinking of Last of Us or Uncharted 4, like we were talking about, where we don't want Nathan to ruin his marriage, but yet he's being a dummy.
We have to, because the writers want that to happen. Right.
And then finally, the walk and talk, which I feel like is all of Sony's first party lineup.
The worst.
I think it's unique that video games do this, but it's often that's when the story gets pushed along in conversations, and you're still in control, but it's very intentionally paced. And so I really think that the best bets here are number one and two. And to give an honorable mention to environmental storytelling, where the story is implied by what's in the setting in the background and less in the dialogue. But I don't feel like that's unique to video games. I think movies and books can also do that in a way.
Right.
Where they don't necessarily need dialogue.
What was the example you gave for intentional dissonance again?
Thinking of like the end of The Last of Us or Uncharted 4, like we talked about, or Final Fantasy 7, I think is also a example of that.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's all my five categories. Anything that hits you there?
No, I think you're right. I think the best options for the medium are the first two. Really open book, letting the character, the player sort of make their own story in the world that you've built seems to be the most effective right now, with just giving them the freedom to play how they want to play without a strong protagonist that kind of gets in the way of what you're trying to do. And then, first person can work sometimes because, again, you're not really seeing the person you're playing as, and it's just like, yeah, this is you moving through this world. How would you react? What are you going to do to get through this? Like that works as well.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it was hard for me to come up with examples of those, especially in modern times.
I'll tell you what's weird though. Like Skyrim is seen that way, and where it's like both very open for you and it's first person. However, an example of this where first person did not work at all for me was Deathloop, where you're supposed to be in first person, you know, playing as yourself, but then you have a voiced character who is saying things the entire time.
Yeah.
And there's this weird like relationship happening with another character in the game, and they're like banter back and forth keeps coming out as you're doing things, and it just took me out of the experience. I was like, this is strange. Like, this is not how I would be reacting to this scenario. Like, it's funny, but it doesn't really like it took me away from what that game was, I think, trying to do initially.
Yeah. That kind of goes back to the previous episode of like, if you have this fully written character that you don't totally jive with, it becomes hard to really inhabit them well.
Yeah, I just felt corny. I was just like, okay.
Do you think if Deathloop was just in third person, would that be easier?
It'd be a totally different game at that point. But yeah, I think if it was third person and you saw Cole running around that map, like that would be different. But you're him. You're inside of his brain. Like, you're seeing what he's seeing, so you are him at that point. It's like, oh, this is different.
Sure.
But I mean, like, that's the same issue with Uncharted as well. You know, Uncharted, God of War, pretty much every Sony first party game has that issue. It's like they're all third person, and sometimes they're not good people that you're playing as. And Deathloop's kind of a weird one too.
Interesting. I have not played that one, but
yeah, don't play it.
Okay. Well, bummer. I think so. What I'm hoping for to kind of start wrapping up, I think at one point there was the remark of like, it feels like you're playing a movie. It was kind of like meant to be that's the pinnacle of narrative in games. And I feel like we're moving away from that now, especially as the medium is getting more creative and it's getting more accessible for people to make cool stuff. And I feel like there's, the more we steer away from the cinematic experience, I think we get more interesting examples. So
a good example that I just thought of that you liked, was, dude, I'm blanking on every single name now, but it's about like the guitar guy where he's running through the world playing
Artful
guitar.
Artful Escape.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gosh. Like that story worked okay. Mm-hmm. But again, it didn't land on me because I wasn't like a musician. I'm like, this is fine, but this doesn't speak to me as much. But you said you liked that game, right?
I did. Yeah. And that's a key one where it's like, what I liked most about that game was like the writing. I connected well of like wanting to pursue creative endeavors and feeling like trying to figure out what that looks like. Mm. And so that like was really personally identifiable, but that's also because that's my unique experience.
Right. So maybe like is the real issue that like we're writing these extremely crazy characters that are doing things that are like insane that we'll never be able to do and we can't relate in any way. It's like, yeah, I don't even know like what's happening here. Whereas like that was a pretty grounded story for the most part with crazy spectacular things happening around it.
Right.
But by and large, what he was trying to do was like very simple and like you could relate to in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm almost tempted to say that like the future of video games is characterless, but then like you bring up Artful Escape. It's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So, but that's more of a subjective love for me. I'd get why it wouldn't click for everyone.
Yeah. I think the future of narrative and games is going to have to go back to like how we opened up this podcast where like the Artful Escape also works because it combines elements of gameplay that sort of entice you to push through the story and kind of connect with what you're actually doing there. Now, obviously, that will work better for somebody who is a musician. But I think, by and large, if you're just making people walk through a story, like the walk and talk situation, that's the worst. That's the worst. Try to do a little bit of like everything if you can. Do some walk and talk if you need to, but just like do a whole lot more of the other things that are a bit more exploratory and fun for the player to actually like find on their own.
Yeah, totally get that. Also, I don't want you to sell yourself short. There are videos of you playing the drums out there for the folks to find.
Somewhere out there.
Well, our time is short, but before we go, I feel like this may be a redundant question, but what game would you point to as an example of the future of narrative?
The future of narrative. Jeez, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of like something recently that's like really blown me away. I don't know. Do you have something on your mind?
The problem is it's the same game I started with, was Outer Wilds. And that's still kind of the one of like, that's got me thinking the most of like, what could narrative be in games if we really embraced it?
One that I think of is Gone Home. Hmm. And this is an older game.
Okay.
And it's really more of like a walking simulator where you're basically, I think it's first person. Yeah, it's first person, and you come into this home that's very spooky and you're not sure what's going on. And then you start going around and finding clues and opening drawers and looking at things. And what you're doing there is actually like unraveling this like really sweet and like kind of sad story at the same time by like moving through the house, and the game starts to sort of build on top of that as you get closer to revealing the story. And it's really like you're pulling on a thread like the entire time until it fully unravels the story. And I think that's like, that's an example of like how future narrative could really start. Like you give players just a little bit and they start pulling on it, and then they get further down and they pull on it some more, and then it fully explodes into this thing at the end and it's a big reveal.
Yeah.
And I think that works well every time.
Man. Yeah. It's got me excited for what narrative could be, as even as tech advances.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fascinating to see.
AI.
There we go. Oh, boy. What a way to end this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jake, one name, one game. What are you playing?
Playing some Balatro. don't know if you have picked. Have you played that yet or picked it
not
up?
Not yet. I keep seeing people talk about it.
$15 on the eShop. If you are a poker fan at all, check it out. I'm not a poker fan, but I think it's a lot of fun still. Nice. And yeah, it's a roguelike. Just try to get some great points and beat the ante and the boss at the end and go again and again and again and again until you lose.
Nice. I think the problem is Sarah's been using the Switch to play Wingspan, and if I introduce another card game, I will probably never see my Switch again.
Wingspan, like the board game on Switch?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really into it.
Nice.
I've not touched it. She loves it. Very cool. For myself, this isn't really a game ball shout out. I've been listening a lot to the Donkey Kong Country soundtrack. Took a deep dive.
Some aquatic ambiance.
Oh, yes. Boop, 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 boop. The bonus room. Surprisingly, a good little bop there.
So many good bops.
Oh, man. Okay, Jake, thank you again for joining me again. Where else are you out on the internet?
I am on the Twitters and the YouTubes at bitbloggist, bitbloggist.
Very nice. And thank you all for listening in. You can follow us on the major podcasting services. You can find us on the proper socials at Quick Play Pod, and let us know, what do you want to see in narrative from video games? And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks.